Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to another cyberspace Pal Talk lesson. Great to be here sharing with you today. We've just had read for us by one of our brothers, Philippians chapter 3. A lovely chapter, isn't it, Philippians chapter 3, where Paul, since he says in chapter 2 that all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ, you will remember, of course, in 2 Timothy, he speaks about all in Asia turning away from him, which is a significant verse, isn't it? Paul, having admitted that he wasn't crucified for anybody, and yet having written so clearly that he had been given, both in the Acts period, a gospel which was indeed so important for those dispensational settings. And after Israel was set aside at the end of the book of Acts, we find that he was given a dispensation of the grace of God by revelation as well. And here in Philippians, Paul uses himself as an example. You'll find there are some examples in Philippians: Epaphroditus, Timothy, Christ in chapter 2. And of course now he turns to himself. I'm sure, still remembering what he was like in the past and the damage that he did to other believers in the past. And of course, in earlier in the chapter, as Les read, in verse 4 through 6, he spoke about his distinct credentials as a Jew, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As regards the law, I was a Pharisee. Of course, we might like to translate that into a modern setting, and I could say, and I'll talk about myself, that I was a fully uniformed member of the Salvation Army, that I attended every obligatory meeting, that I gave my testimony on the street corners, and that whilst I didn't persecute the church, of course, as touching the obligations within that denomination, I was in fact pretty clear. But whatever things were gained to Paul, he says in verse 7, those I counted loss for Christ. In verse 8, I count all things be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And I'm hoping today, and as we just reflect upon Paul, that we will also take from him encouragement, that there will be changes in our lives. There will be directional changes. When we make a stand for truth, when we stand for that which God has revealed, there certainly will be an alteration of circumstances. Personal, praise God for that, in our private lives, in our family situation, and of course, in the wider corporation. In verse 13 of chapter 3 of Philippians, the apostle goes on and says, my brethren, I do not count myself to have taken possession. But one thing I do, forgetting the things behind. The things behind in Paul's previous religious life were absolutely essential, weren't they? The things that he left, the things that he counted down, you see, he forgot those. And he was reaching forward to the things before. Because you see, friends, here's a man not writing to the Philippians about their basic salvation. Come on, this is his longed for, his joy and his crown. He's not going to write to these Philippians and go over Christ dying on the cross for our sins. Righteousness by faith reckoned. Come on, people. He'd spoken to these group who'd been with him from the beginning of the gospel. You know, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And of course, that is the axiom of activity of many a modern preacher who have failed to read chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says that the Corinthians were baby, divisive and carnal and couldn't take any of the meat of the word. We wonder why it is that Paul says there's coming a time within the Christian community that sound doctrine won't be endured. And part of the blame has to lie with modern day preachers who want to keep preaching Christ crucified to Christians. That's all they preach. And I tell you something, friends, I know what I'm talking about if my religion hasn't changed. It was the cross of Christ every week. But Paul pressed on and away from the cross, not leaving it, of course. It's a great foundation. He moved on for the prize. The prize. There's something in view. That's a prize. Philippians, of course, has the great Bible study principle, test things that are different, in his prayer, in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. There's a crown in 2 Timothy with the great Bible study principle of rightly dividing the word of truth, which means a lot more than correctly handle. Let us, therefore, as many as are mature or perfect, be of this mind. What mind? Leaving things behind. Let us walk by this same mind, reaching forward, forgetting the things that are behind. That's the mind we're to have today. Wherever we are in the understanding of God's word, and I'm sure there's some of you that have got a better understanding than I have, but friends, wherever you might be today in your understanding, I want you to determine to go forward. And in this context, and in this setting of going forward, we're going to look at some of the things that happened to Paul. Now he says, in verse 17, "Brethren, be imitators together of me, and mark those who walk this way, for you have us for a pattern. For many walk, I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, as enemies of the cross of Christ." And the cross in Philippians is an emblem of enduring and going forward, isn't it? They're not preventing the shed blood of Christ on that cross being proclaimed. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. "Take up your cross and follow me," the Lord even said in the Gospels, before he ever was crucified. That's the enemy. And where are they? They're walking. What do we need to do? We need to forget the things that are behind in our life. Forget those around us who are walking with us, and at least concede that some of them, whatever the percentage, some of them may be enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies to this principle of going forward. Paul, a pattern. The Apostle Paul. Forget and go forward. Yes. Now, I wanted to show this word in a letter to Timothy. It's in verse 16. But for this cause, and I'm chopping it out of its context, and we really don't have time to dwell upon this. But for this cause, but looking back to the previous verses, "I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering as a pattern." Paul, a pattern. A type. Now, just for interest, the word here for ensample and pattern and type first occurs in John chapter 20:25, where the Lord showed the print of the nails in his hand. The print. He didn't show them the nails, but they could see where the nails had been. The print, an impression, a pattern made by those nails. Paul, thus, we were not, is the nail, and when in the application, we're not seeing Paul except his words, but we can see in his life a pattern for us to follow. Now, as you know, in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was struck with a light, and he fell into the earth and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And trembling and astonished, he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Yes, you remember, don't you, friends, that in Galatians, the Apostle Paul spoke about a gospel that he had received. A gospel that he had received. I'm going to show it to you in verses 11 of this chapter, and I'm going to show it to you in verse 12. "It was not according to man, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it except by revelation of Jesus Christ." What was this gospel? "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal and call me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me." I want you to notice, friends, that this great gospel, this great conversion experience, Paul was also taught, wasn't he, in Arabia as well, it was all a revelation of his Son. Now, Paul says that he was above his own contemporaries in Judaism, didn't he? He could have quoted the Bible left, right, and center. If you wanted to argue with the Apostle Paul about the Tanakh, the Pentateuch, then, friends, you were setting yourself up for a very, very difficult time, because this man knew the Bible, didn't he? But you see, he didn't know the Christocentric, the Christ-centered Tanakh, did he? Now, I'm going to go to Ephesians and show you a parallel for you and me. It's really amazing, isn't it, that there are these, and we're crossing the Acts 28 boundary today, aren't we? We're talking Sunday morning, remember, we like to talk about universal or fundamental things. Someone left because they thought we were going to talk about Acts 28. I'm sorry they were disappointed, but they came in on the wrong night, didn't they? What was Paul's prayer? What is Paul's prayer for these saints and faithful at Ephesus? What is Paul's prayer for these Christians? His prayer for those Christians, Ephesians 1, 16 and 17, is that, "You see, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." Is a knowledge of Christ needed? Isn't there for Christians today who can quote Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the book of Acts? They can quote Paul left, right and center. But you know, don't you? Do they know him intimately, not only as Savior and Lord, but do they know him as the head of the church, which is his body, and all that that means? Well, I'll leave you to ponder that question, but I know I've met many who do not. So like Paul, he had this turnaround, a religious man, advanced in religion, but he needed to know Christ, didn't he? Now, of course, in the Acts period, Christ was the Saviour, in whom was forgiveness of sins, Paul's gospel. Here are just a few quick elements. Paul's gospel was that he was the seed of David, the son of God. Paul's gospel, that in this son of God, there was the promise fulfilled, the king of Israel. Remember Acts chapter 13, Christ raised to sit on David's throne, which isn't in your heart, by the way. That was all understanding about Christ in the Acts period. Forgiveness, righteousness, the coming king at the trumpet blast to sit on David's throne. And Paul needed to see all those things. And of course, then, with that revelation, couldn't the man then go back to the scriptures that he thought he knew? Do you see? He thought he knew. And they exploded in a majestic vista of Christ, didn't they? And so the man, you see, is quoting the Old Testament now, seeing things he never saw before. Remember this verse in Galatians? Don't you love this verse? And the scripture, Galatians 3:8, foreseeing that God would justify the nations through faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham. And he quotes Genesis chapter 12. In you shall all nations be blessed. Well, a lot of us think that just meant that Christ was going to be the saviour of everybody. But Paul brings out that in that gospel is righteousness, justification, the great reckoning. I wonder what we will see in the scriptures by the grace of God when we stand and say, "What will you have me to do now, Lord, when he reveals his son in you?" You're going to go back? What are we going to do? Are we going to go forward with what the Lord has revealed to us, or are we just going to try and compromise, mark time, mix it up? Paul's our pattern. And I can tell you something, friends. He didn't compromise anything. Remember that incident in Galatians when Peter, who wasn't preaching a perverted gospel, by the way, but Peter did something which gave the Judaizers credibility. Peter removed himself from a Gentile after getting a vision about nothing common unclean, and Peter and Paul had to, you know, stand up to Peter about that. Now, he was an apostle and so was Peter, and we're not Paul. But there may be a time, friends, when you have to speak to me and say, "Brian, are you compromising something?" Paul's our pattern. He did not compromise what God had told him and had taught him. You have faith? Do you believe that God is leading you? That God has revealed his son in you? Are you beginning to see the great principle of right division? Are you beginning to see the differences between not only the Gospels, but Paul in the Acts period and Paul's post-Acts ministry? Well then, don't go back, friends. Don't compromise, don't mix. Paul didn't. "What will you have me to do, Lord?" he says in Acts chapter 9. Ready to get up and go forward, leaving those things behind. All of those credentials to his religious zeal. That's our pattern. Say, what about his family life? Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. I love this bit. I think it's Acts 9. Is it Acts 9? Yes. Paul in Acts 9:29 starts to speak boldly. Okay. "In the name of the Lord Jesus, and argued with the Greek-speaking Hellenists," the Jews, Hellenists, "but they seized him in order to kill him." Here's a man who's had the Lord revealed to him, and unfortunately, he's our pattern, remember, there's quite some discomfort. Now, I tell you what, I did have to go to the clinic on Wednesday night, and I've got some antibiotics, so it was a wonderful doctor, a great visit. And you know what? I was reflecting on my life at 63 years old. I really haven't endured a lot of pain. Not much pain at all. But I'm going to tell you something. If you want pain, stand for truth. If God is revealing something to you, if God is showing you from the Word this great post-Acts ministry and you start standing for it, get ready. Because you see, when I was in the beloved Salvation Army and I wore the uniform, save for those odd black socks I used to look out just to be a bit of a rebel, you see, I was acceptable. People said, oh, isn't he wonderful? And they thought that I was going to go to the Salvation Army Theological College. But you see, not in such a dramatic way, but over time, God revealed his Son to me. And I had to make a decision that what God was revealing to me was out of step with where I was. And so I forget the things that are behind, despite the fact no one wanted to kill me. They had prayer meetings, you've heard this before, because I'd taken my hand off the plough and I'd gone a different and funny way. You see? So what did the disciples do? After Paul had witnessed in Damascus and Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, speaking about Christ who had been revealed in him, the brothers, knowing that they were going about to kill him, brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, his hometown. They sent him back to his hometown. Now, I need to tread carefully here, but you probably appreciate that the Apostle Paul, our pattern, remember, was more than likely married. He'd sat at the feet of Gamaliel and was destined for high things in the Judaism, wasn't he? He had all the credentials, and they sent him back to Tarsus. By comparing Scripture with Scripture, when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we get the hint, don't we, that the Apostle Paul was indeed a single man. Now, this is a bit of speculation, so I don't want you to... I want you to take it in the vein in which it's offered. But I do remember a passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 12. Deborah and I are reading Luke at the moment, having some good times in Luke, and I was reminded of this verse as we read in the Gospel times. The Lord says this, Luke 12:52. From now on, there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You see, truth, friends, revealed, is divisive. Paul was divided. Separated, that's the word Pharisee, remember? He was divided and separated from his mother's womb. On the road to Damascus, he was divided and separated from his religion. And I'm going to suggest to you that going forward in truth may bring about a separation or a division within a family. So if you're going to make a stand for truth, you're going to have to don't pause and consider the consequences. Because if we sit down and consider the consequences, we might mark time and not forget the things that are behind. And because, friends, let me tell you that some of the things behind spiritually, not in relationship, but some of the things left behind might be family in that spiritual sense. You still love them, you still mix among them, but remember, Don't use family as a handicap for going forward, will you? Because if my suggestion about the Apostle Paul be true, he didn't. There was nothing. I count all things but loss. Is that our attitude this morning? If God has revealed his Son in me, and you know the parallel, this is an Acts 28 room, so you know the parallel, don't you? If we in Ephesians 1 have experienced the answer in our own lives to this great prayer, do you see? Then nothing, my dear friends, if we know the hope of his calling today, if we know by the word of God rightly divided, if we know the power in us, then those are the things that we should pursue. Aren't they? If we're raised with Christ, no if of doubt here, what are we to do? If we've been seated in front of God's hand in the heavenly places, we have to be mindful on things above, don't we? Not on things of the earth. What did we see in that great passage in Philippians, remember? That was read for us so well by Les. Many walk who mind earthly things, whose end is destruction. Now you see, in the matter of salvation, we have to be so careful with this word, don't we? Destruction. You see, Paul isn't writing about non-believers who are going to all go to hell. No, he's talking about those who are walking whose end is waste, loss. See, there's a crown in view, a prize of the high calling. And everyone in Christ has life, but not everyone in Christ will walk forward, forget the things that are behind, and reach forward for the prize. That's what this is about. Do you want the prize this morning? Oh, it couldn't happen to me. I've butchered so many things in the past. I was such a, you know, I really failed. Listen, friends, if we want to sit and swap failure stories, well, we'd be here for the rest of our lives, wouldn't we? You know, some of my failures, but not the really bad ones. I couldn't tell you my bad failures, and I've had a few. So we forget the things that are behind, don't we? And that includes the failures. Stop. Don't be tempted to be a martyr and look back and say, well, I did this, I failed that, God help me, I did that. No, no, no. As far as the east is from the west, so far he's cast our sins from himself, hasn't he? I've butchered that verse as well. But they're behind him. Well, let's put them behind us. There's a crown. There's a prize. And as members of the church, which is his body, we forget what's behind and we pick ourselves up and we go forward. But going forward means not only do we leave things behind, but we're going to have to unlearn some things as we go along. Because we are not immediately aware, are we? In Galatians, Paul said, oh, he revealed his Son in me on the road to Damascus. The Lord spoke to him, he said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. And then, in Galatians, you know that the Apostle Paul, I hope I can find it real quickly. This is an ad lib lesson. Verse 16 of Galatians 1, having called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, to preach him among the nations, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. But the Apostle Paul had the Son revealed in him, but he also needed a time of teaching, didn't he? And I tell you what, friends, I bet there were some verses of Scripture that fell into place for the apostle as he was taught of the Lord. Yes, his Son was revealed in him, but there was more to be taught to him, remember? I'm going to show you the same thing in those who were apostles before Paul. You know these verses, but they're wonderful, aren't they, in a different context? The Lord, speaking to the disciples, having appeared to all of them, he said to them, these are the words, Luke 24:44, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms about me. Now he told them before. And yes, I know it was hidden from them, but they couldn't understand them, could they? They didn't understand them. All that was written about him. You talk to a modern Jew today. Ask a Jew about Zechariah 13:6. Who was wounded? Who's looking upon these wounds in that prophecy? And they'll tell you, oh, it's the prophet or somebody else. You read a modern unsaved Jew, if you know what I mean. You talk with a Jew about Isaiah 53. And ask them, who was wounded for Israel's transgressions? And they say, oh, well, you know, that's the prophet or somebody else. They are exactly as the apostles were here in Luke 24 and exactly as Paul was. They had the book. How many Christians out there have the book? It's on their dining room table. They take it to church. Some of them still do anyway. But I believe that many of them need that prayer of Paul in Ephesians 1 to get an understanding of Christ in it. They'll sing about Christ the King. They'll sing about Psalm 102. They'll sing about absolutely everything and anything except the dispensation of the grace of God found in the post-Acts letters of Paul. Anyway, the Lord spoke to his disciples about those things, and in verse 45, he opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. Pray to God, friends, that he opens our minds and continues to do so by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to know Christ, and knowing Christ as a believer is not to cling to the cross and believe that he shed his blood. We've done that. We want to know him in a deeper revelation that was given to Paul after Acts 28. And where was Paul's ministry? He went straight back to where he had been before. And if you want a parallel, as Paul is your pattern, oh, I know he was sent to the Gentiles, Galatians chapter 1, but I can tell you something, friends. In the Acts period, the Apostle Paul went to the nations in the synagogues. You get a couple of references in Acts 14 and Acts 17 about Paul actually speaking to Gentiles, but every other ministry recorded was to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. Now, Paul went back. And what we're to do is to set our affection on things above, to seek this understanding about Christ as head of the church, which is his body, and our witness. Now watch out. Our witness with this understanding is not to the unregenerate. Uh-oh. You can imagine someone coming into the room here and saying, oh, this man's telling him not to preach John 3:16, or Galatians 1:6 for that matter, or 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, big favourite verses of some. I came to a point in the Salvation Army where I began to understand certain things, and I'm not blowing my trumpet here, it's just an example. And I knew, when I understood, I couldn't shut up. I couldn't shut up. I made an absolute fool of myself, standing in front of the people, talking about three adoptions, three callings, different promises, different relationships between Christ and called out companies, and in the end they were so weary of me. So what's going to be like with you? The Apostle Paul went back to his Jewish brethren and he preached Christ to them as he had been revealed to Paul. He opened those scriptures and they didn't like it. What do you think your life is going to be like and mine as someone who's trying to share right the vision and Christ the head? What's going to happen in family? Well, what happened to Paul's? What's going to happen in your local assembly? You can sit quietly and calmly and do very gentle ministry. You don't have to upset them, but there'll come a time when they'll ask you something, and you have to stand on truth. Stand on truth. However, getting back to the Lord and the apostles, he opened their mind to understand the scriptures. What a day that is. And he said to them, having opened their understanding, look at verse 46 of Luke 24. And he said to them, so. Can you see the weight of the word so in Luke 24:46? Ah, yes, says the apostles. Their mind opened. He can say, so it is written. Oh, the word of God that they knew, now they knew. You see? That's why in Philippians 1, 9 and 10, we are to promote Christians studying the Bible so that ultimately they can distinguish things that are different. Those are two fabulous verses, aren't they? And I've been guilty of quoting Luke 24:45 independently, but it's the next verse. So it is written, and so it behoved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day. Repentance and remissions of sins should be proclaimed in his name among all nations. And if you can't see Paul's Acts period ministry in Luke 24:47, then I believe I can. Repentance, Paul said, God calls every man or where to repent. That's his gospel to Gentiles. Forgiveness of sins, proclaimed in his name, faith in his name. And now I tell you what, Peter must have been a real good student with his mind open, or he had a wonderful memory. Well, I know the Holy Spirit was bringing back things to his memory. Now then, Acts 10:43 says, Peter to a Gentile. Peter preached to a Gentile first. And what did Peter say to a Gentile? All the prophets give witness to him that through his name whoever believes in him shall receive remission, forgiveness of sins. That's exactly what the Lord told them in Luke 24. However, must make my point here, I'm bypassing the what I wanted to show you. They had their minds opened, like the Apostle Paul, but they did receive, didn't they, 40 days instruction. They received 40 days instruction in Acts chapter 1 through to verse 3. And do you see, they had the truth revealed to them confirmed. Confirmed. Many infallible proofs. I want to assure each and every one of us today, when we make a stand for right division, when we make a stand, there will be proofs coming your way. Now, you might have to wait a bit for them and hang in there by faith, setting our affection on things above, but God will confirm to you. God will confirm. And he spoke to these apostles for 40 days. And you know, I have speculated that the Apostle Paul was in Arabia for 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 days. Moses was 40 when he went the first time to Egypt. He was 80 when he went the second time. Christ was tried in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 is a probationary number for Israel. 40 days in Acts chapter 1 verse 3, of course, meant that when the Lord ascended, there weren't many days left to Pentecost, because it was the 50th day, remember. Now he met with them and he gave them a command in Acts 1:4 to tarry or remain in Jerusalem. So friends, what I'm saying as Paul our pattern, to sum up the lesson this morning, is that the Apostle Paul had the Son of God revealed in him. The parallel I've been drawing for us as Christians is that, praise God, in answer to Paul's ancient prayer recorded in Ephesians, each one of us may be enjoying the revelation of the Son of God post-Acts. The consequences of that may well be the consequences that Paul experienced. Perhaps the loss of closeness of family. You won't lose your family, but that closeness, you see. Always a little something odd. Five family, three against two, two against one. It might be you against a lot. But we forget the things that are behind, and we reach forward for the prize, don't we? The Apostle Paul needed to be taught. He had the Son revealed, but he had a period of teaching. We must forget the things behind and reach forward, following the leading of the Lord. If you're picking up right division these last months, these last years, don't let it lie dormant. Keep going. Go forward. Stretch for the prize. Watch out for the many who walk, who want to encumber us. Oh, well now, you don't have to get so celestial. Let's not be nitpickers of the Bible. You know, look, we were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the unsaved. Well, that's not what Ephesians and Colossians is about. Paul received something for Christians. Who's going to preach that? We proclaim it in the level that we understand. That's pressing forward. That's our responsibility, and whatever the consequences might be, we leave them behind. We don't dwell on them. And finally, my dear friends, if you're beginning to rejoice and see things that are different, both between the Gospels and the post-Acts letters, if you're beginning to see things that are different in Paul in the Acts period and the post-Acts period, then keep going forward. The Lord is our shepherd, and I can take that great principle, can't I? He's guiding and he's leading. What for? Well, you know what, friends? I'm finishing this lesson in Colossians chapter 1. With a verse that you know I repeat nearly every time we have a lesson. Well, no problem. It's important. It's an important, important verse of Scripture. Something through Paul in Colossians chapter 1 had been given to him specifically for believers. You know, in Paul's Acts period ministry, he went to Jews first. And he was preaching in the Acts period to unrepentant Jews. And then he was ministering to those who had repented. In Colossians 1, we have verse 24, Paul rejoicing in his sufferings. He's a prisoner now for Jesus Christ, or the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for us Gentiles. You'll see that in Ephesians 3:1. There it is. The prisoner of Jesus Christ for you nations. In 3:13 of Ephesians, he said, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Oh, I thought the glory was the cross. I thought the glory was in Matthew. No, the glory for us believers, us Gentiles, is found in Paul. Back to Colossians chapter 1, you see. So don't, he said, I don't want you to be concerned about my sufferings, because I rejoice in them. I rejoice in them. I fill up the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the church. We belong to the church, which is his body, of which I became a minister. You want to find out about the church, which is his body? Well, you better start with Paul. Because when Christ said to Peter, on this rock I will build my church, maybe that was another called out company. But we can't go there, can we? Of which I became a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of God given to me for you to complete or fill up the word of God. And what fills it up? The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations is not found in Moses, the law, and the prophets now, is it? You see? Oh, this can't be the things that Christ revealed to the apostles in the Luke chapter 24, because in Luke 24, when he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, he said Christ had to suffer according to the scriptures, that he had to rise from the dead, as it is written. Now he's given Paul something that can't be found in the Old Testament. Notice the last word in Colossians 1:26, saints. For to them God would make known, you see. Saints, God wants saints to know something. You would think when you look at Christianity around that their only commission is to preach John 3:16 to every unbeliever. Well, what about this? This is something that Paul... This is something that Paul was given to proclaim to believers. And if we're beginning to see this, we have a glimpse of it. Let's forget the things that are behind. It's God's will that saints know it. That great prayer of Paul that God would grant them a wise and revealing spirit is not our responsibility, but it's our responsibility to walk worthy of this calling. And to proclaim it to the best of our ability. And we together today will forget the things that are behind, the bad things we did, and we'll press for the prize, won't we, everybody? Because all things are in his care, all things are in his hands, and to him be the praise and glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.